CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Now back to Fire It Up with CJ. Be a force for good. And Fire It Up with CJ. Log on, fireitupwithcj.com. And call CJ now.
248-545-7685.
On CBS Radio's The Sky. The Sky.
Welcome back to CBS Sky Radio. This is Fired Up with CJ. Our guest today is Amy McCready, author of If I Have to Tell You One More Time, The Revolutionary Program to Get Kids to Listen Without Nagging. Her website is PositiveParentingSolutions.com. I'm Cassandra, and I'm here with CJ and Amy today. And we're going to go right back to our conversation about how to get kids to listen and not take over.
All right, welcome back to the Fired Up with CJ show. I am CJ Liu, and, you know, sometimes parenting feels like a really bad yoga mantra. You know, in yoga, when you're like, om, om, and now it's been converted to pick up your shoes, pick up your shoes, pick up your shoes. Yet, despite these mantras, nothing seems to happen. The shoes are still in the direct pathway as I'm walking down the hallway. And so, much to my discredit, I pick up the shoes and I put them away, versus repeating my mantra yet again. Now, I'm hoping that Amy McCready, the founder of Positive Parenting Solutions, can give us, myself and other parents who need tips on how to best work with your kids to remember these small details without nagging. So welcome back, Amy.
Thank you so much.
So what's happening? Why can't my kid remember? He's smart. He remembers virtually everything else. He can memorize, you know, 500 different details about his Warhammer things. But why not his shoes? I don't get it.
Well, there are two reasons why kids forget. And the first reason is that kid priorities are not the same as parent priorities. Mm-hmm. Right? He doesn't care about the shoes laying in the middle of the hallway. That doesn't bother him a bit.
Right.
He doesn't care whether the towel is laying on the floor. He doesn't care whether the dish has been moved over to the dishwasher. Those are parent priorities, not kid priorities.
Yes.
So that is part of the reason that it's just not important to them. They remember the things that are important to them.
Right.
And then the second reason is when you think about things like homework and remembering the shin guards and the lunchbox and those types of things. You know, a child who always forgets has a parent who always remembers.
Mm-hmm.
So just like, you know, if you always put the shoes away for him, he knows you're going to put them away for him. Or if you remember for him as he's walking out the door and you say, now don't forget your lunchbox, then there's no need for him to remember, because a child who always forgets has a parent who always remembers for him.
Mm-hmm.
So our job then is to sort of take that monkey off of our shoulders that we talked about earlier and put it on the child's shoulders. So create systems and use tools that put the responsibility right where they belong, which is on our kids' shoulders.
You know what I think? I think, you know what, if I don't do this, then some wife is going to have to remember and remind him all the time. You're like, honey, did you turn in the whatever? And you know what? I can't pass that along. I want my children to have a successful, happy marriage. And this is one of those things that it just, if it's not remedied when your child is young, it just keeps on going, right? And their poor wife has to remind them. I mean, don't you know of so many husbands that have this problem, this affliction?
Absolutely. And it's almost like if we don't correct this now, we are contributing to a high-maintenance employee and a high-maintenance spouse, and some people down the road are not going to be very happy with us.
No.
So it is incumbent upon us to make our own family lives better and to make society better at large by fixing this problem now.
Exactly. Well, you know, I said to my son, I said, well, and I did the thing with the laundry where I said, well, you didn't put your laundry in, so didn't do it. And he's like, really? And I said, he's like, you're not going to do it? Are you going to run another load? I'm like, no. You're just going to have to wear your dirty clothes over and over again until, you know, the next time I do laundry. And you know what? I never had that problem again. And I think the idea of natural consequences that you talk about in your book and logical consequences are so critical. Can you explain what some of those ideas are?
Absolutely. In fact, I'm going to sort of put consequences sort of a little later in the list. Because
Go ahead.
It's important
to go through
a progression. And the reason I say that is because we can definitely jump right to consequences.
But I always
like to start with some strategies that are a little bit more empowering for the child first.
Yeah.
So, again, recognizing that kid priorities are not the same as parent priorities. We know that going in.
Yep.
So we have to create up some systems to help them be successful. So, for example, visual reminders. So when they come in the door, there is a sign there or something that has, you know, shoes, lunchbox, whatever, like the three things you need them to do when they come in the door. So create visual reminders on their bathroom mirror, in the kitchen, you know, put a little, I used to put a little tent card on the table, like, you know what I mean? Like you take an 8.5 by 11 piece of paper, make
that.
A tent card, and also I would put on there, thank you for taking your, or thank you for putting your dishes in the dishwasher when you're done. Just a little reminder. It's not me saying it. It's just that little reminder. So wherever you can use visual reminders, that gets the point across without you being the one to have to nag about it.
And how long do you have to keep those visual reminders up? Are they like a permanent poster in your house? Or did you, like, you know, a couple weeks and they just get it?
Yeah, I think they just get it. And then if you find that they're slipping again, you can put that visual reminder back.
Got it.
Now, listeners may think, well, I can put up the visual reminders and they're still not going to do it. And that may be the case, and we'll get to consequences for that. But we always want to start with the, as I said, more empowering strategies first. So visual reminders. Then you have the when-then routines that we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
So the when-then routine is when you've finished your family jobs, then you can enjoy your electronics. It's the same routine every single day. So when they come in the house, you have an electronics station. So the phones go there, the iPads, the remote controllers are there. You have your electronics station. And so everybody dumps their stuff there, and when all the family jobs are done and you've checked it, if you feel the need to check, then they can enjoy their electronics. So
really,
the when-then routine is the same every single day, so you don't have to tell them that, okay, it's after school, you need to be doing your family contributions or your homework. You never have to say a word about it because the routine, the when-then routine becomes the boss rather than you being the boss. Does that make sense?
Love it. Yep, absolutely. Yep.
So think about when-then routines. You're going to have one for the morning. So your morning when-then routine could sound like this. When you are dressed, your bed is made, your hair is combed, your backpack and lunchbox are by the door, then we'll have breakfast. And by the way, the kitchen closes at 7:30. Or when those things are done, then you can enjoy some outside time or play time until the bus comes. So you create a morning routine, a when-then routine that I talked about earlier with the homework and family contributions, and then an evening routine. So when your clothes are picked out for the morning, you've had your bath, you're in your pajamas, you know, whatever, whatever, then we'll do stories and snuggles, but lights are out at 8 o'clock no matter what. So if they dilly-dally through the yucky stuff, then they run out of time for the fun stuff, but that is sort of the built-in consequence. And then the next day, they'll remember to get through the yucky stuff. So the when-then routine is sort of the next piece. Now, you may have to get to a point where you have consequences and sort of, and there are different types. So let's say part of your when-then routine before dinner is picking up all the toys. When your toys are all picked up, then we'll have dinner, but they don't care about dinner. So then you need to reveal a consequence and say, you know what? Picking up the toys is your responsibility and not mine. Our family rule is the toys have to be picked up by 5 o'clock. If you choose to not pick up your toys, that's okay. I'll take care of it, but anything that I have to pick up is going to go into a box, and it's going to be in the garage and unavailable for the next week.
Oh, love that.
So you kind of have that, that backup consequence built in.
Right.
Again, doing it as part of a win-win routine is more empowering. But if you have to get to a consequence, you go there next.
Right, and it was a logical one. Like, if I have to do it, then it seems like you don't really care about these toys enough to take care of them. I'll take care of them, but then you don't get to see them because this toy doesn't mean anything to you based on your behavior. So I love that, that, like, very logical consequence. These are fantastic.
And
I'm going to land all of these on them this week.
Well, and the laundry example that you gave. So our family rule is that you guys need to put your laundry in the baskets, the dark basket and the light basket. I'll do laundry on Tuesday and Thursday. If your stuff is in the baskets and sorted, I'm happy to wash it. If not, you're either on your own, you can wash it yourself, or wait until the next laundry day. I've revealed that in advance. They know full well what the deal is, and then it's totally up to them. I don't have to remind them or nag them to get their laundry into the laundry room. It's their job to do it, and if not, then they'll have to wear dirty stuff. That's the way it goes.
Yeah, and I think that the point that you made in your book is really relevant that you just made. Make sure to tell them before you start executing. Mm-hmm. I think as a parent, it's really tempting to just start executing all of these things and then not really communicating with your kid the new regime change. So I think it's important to talk about with your kids that you say in the book. Talk to them before you start implementing all these things.
Yeah, reveal in advance. That's part of giving them the power to choose. They have free will, and when they know ahead of time what you expect and what the possible consequence will be, they're completely empowered.
Yep.
They can follow your rules and do what they're supposed to do, or they can choose the consequence. So now it's not something you've done to them. It is a choice that they've made. They were fully empowered. They made that choice, and they have to live with the consequence.
Love it. So a ton of great advice from Amy McCready, author, if I have to tell you one more time, The Revolutionary Program to Get Kids to Listen Without Nagging. And in our last segment, we will discuss back-talking and how to work with your child to change your fighting ways. We'll be right back